Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Do you know if all of the kangaroos from Australia invaded Uruguay, each Uruguay would have to fight 14 kangaroos on his own to beat him?
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Just 14 to 1 in balance. Go on, you can start.
Hello, Buoradori, drinkers galore, people who are mad for cans and pints and everything beer. We're here for your weekly dose of the Snowcast, a bit of shy talk, as you've just been privy to as we started to record with that fascinating fun fact by this week's guest, Snowcast, regular Snowcast contributor irregularly, Ian Walsh. Ian, how are you getting on, kid? How are the kangaroos?
Not too bad. Well, hopefully, on your wings. Uruguayan's point of view, I suppose, they hope there's no fucking kangaroos because they'd be slogged around the place. But yeah, tipping away yourself.
I'm not too bad. Not too bad, thanks. Happy to be sitting here on a Friday night drinking an absolute smashing can of beer. I have another great can lined up and looking forward to getting into that. Owen, you're with us as always. How's the form?
I'm good, yeah. Did you know that kangaroos are strictly herbivores, right? But that that they actually don't produce much methane at all compared to cows, like, you know?
So what you're saying is...
More kangaroos, less cows.
Yeah.
Yeah, so basically for the environment, we need to get used to eating kangaroos.
Yeah.
Eat kangaroos.
Well, they do in Australia. They've had, like, if you watch MasterChef Australia, they've had kangaroo.
That's just I'm a celebrity.
No, that's the kangaroo's bollocks.
They kind of call them, don't they, in Australia? They're rampant, like, aren't they? The kangaroos, like.
Yeah, 47 million of them.
That's a pretty accurate figure, I'd imagine, given some of the facts that were thrown out just as we started
to record. I was reading about it earlier.
But we're here on a Friday night, coming in your ears sometime over the weekend, from the weekend onwards, and I have to say we've got a kind of funny topic lined up for tonight, so it's very much related to what we're drinking and how we got there and how we came about drinking it. So I'm gonna kick off straight away before we end up spending the whole episode talking about marsupials from the Southern Hemisphere. I'm going to go to you first, Ian. What are you drinking tonight?
I'm starting off with Golden Wonder, a watermelon wheat beer from 3D City Brewery in Limerick. It's actually beautiful, 4.1%, very drink. Could easily see myself at home alone, because that's all we can do these days, drinking 4, 5, 6 of these on a Friday night talking shite.
But even more importantly, you could see yourself towards the end of the summer, if all things go right, drinking 4 or 5 pints of them in Mother Max Bar in Limerick.
Yeah, if I ever decide to go to Limerick, that is.
He'll promote Limerick beer, but he won't promote Limerick pubs. Brave tactic from the staunch Corkman there. Owen, what are you drinking tonight?
I am on the White Hag and the Dark Druid series. So this is their kind of series of pastry stouts, which Ian is drinking, obviously. But I am on the chocolate coconut pastry stout. And yeah, it's like a pint of Bounty. So it is, it's fucking, it's quality. It's quality street.
So you
I just mix up all the analogies.
How have you managed to cram four terrible analogies into one? I mean, the thing here is like you're trying to sell a beer and you're calling it a pint of Bounty. There's going to be about 15% of the population that are going to have this beer, and yeah, the rest of the population are going to have to not ever drink it. But you're a Bounty man yourself, so by the sounds of it.
Oh yeah, yeah, I love the Bounties, but I love this stout more. Yeah, it's really nice. I don't know. Yeah, it is kind of like people don't like coconut, really, isn't it? Like, it's not really the Bounty thing I'm getting caught up here on. It's like a lot of people just don't like coconut, but yeah, so it's like a really strong smell of coconut initially, but yeah, 5.5% comes in one of those little stubby cans, which I think are kind of perfect for those kind of desserty stouts, you know, because you don't end up drinking a pile of it. But then, like, I have a second can of it, so I'm just gonna fuck that over immediately.
But you love those stubby cans. You love them little 300 millers, the 330 millers.
I do. Yeah, they're nice. Keep the beer fresh, like, you know. I always love that. You know, when you're going like when you're in Spain or somewhere, and they just give you little glasses of beer. You know, and you just end up like piling, like you just keep getting like loads and loads of them. Like, just so good. They're so cheap, like that. You just end up like, I don't know, like a euro for a glass of beer or something, and you just get loads. But the beer is so fresh because they're just like pouring it, you know. And as well, I think as well in Spain as well, because it's so hot that like beer go hot if you had a big pint the whole time. Like, you just have a warm pint halfway through, whereas like if you just get a little glass each time.
Yeah, ooh, when it's a euro a glass, you're still saving money on the Temple Bar prices. So,
oh, definitely. Yeah.
That's the moment you said that about the glass in the hot climate, though, I went straight to the freshness of it, like the cold pour, which is obviously the big advantage for a glass of beer over there. Not so much here because it's cold anyway. So you know, pints all the way.
Oh, stop! Sure, I had this can out in the car like this morning, and it was perfection. Like,
when you say you had the can in the car this morning, you mean
I would like to clarify, if the Nardi are listening, I was not drinking and driving.
But I think what you meant to say,
resting in my car.
Yeah, I think you left the can in the car overnight, wasn't it?
Yes, that is the correct statement. Yeah,
perfect. And actually, Ian, I'm going to come back to you because as Owen was describing his dessert pastry stout series from the White Hag, his coconut one, you, after absolutely gulping your pint of golden wheat beer.
Golden Wonder. It's a play on words with Golden Wonder, the potatoes, I think.
Oh.
And the Limerick slur gowl. You poured your own pastry stout there from the White Hag, from the same series.
Yeah, the same series, the chocolate orange pastry stout. There's some absolute smell of orange off it. I'll do a live reaction to my first hit. Geez, like a pint of Bounty. No, it's like
that's quality street, mate.
Very nice. It's very nice. It's like, I wouldn't say it's like Terry shop orange. Well, it's like, you know, when you get it, have you ever
orange had
orange hot chocolate?
Oh, yeah.
It's kind of like that, but obviously not hot.
Yeah, I actually had two cans of those on Christmas Eve. And the way I described it to my father-in-law was, "'Tis like, do you want a lint chocolate, orange chocolate bar?"
Yeah, smoother than a Terry's chocolate orange.
Yeah, kind of creamier. So a nice can. Myself, I'm on a limited edition beer. Third barrel, the Break from the Haze, New Zealand Bruce Topped West Coast IPA. Now, this is a big beer, 8.5%. It's Oh, let me tell you, the punch from it is mighty. It's a lovely smelling beer. It's like real piney, freshy, that real fresh. I suppose it's almost like a sprucey kind of smell to it, you know. And when you taste it, then it's got that kind of grapefruity, almost like grapey taste up front, and then there's a lovely like kind of malty bitter, small little bitter finish. But trust me, it's really not hazy, obviously, because it's like the name of it is Break from the Haze. It's like do you remember that cryo the cryo IPA that Blaxican Sale brought out there, that I was drinking pints of it in Sissy Young's there a couple of years ago when we were down in Cork.
Oh yeah.
It is very, very similar kind of texture and taste to that, to that particular pint. It reminded me of that, but just like double the ABV and double the punch. An absolute great beer. Like I've got Wicklow Wolf's Mammoth IPA to move on to after this, which is 6.2%. So the second half of this podcast could go fucking anywhere else.
What percent is that?
This one, the Break from the Haze, is 8.5%. And it's a 500 ml can as well, like, so it's an absolute belter of a beer. Like, one can equals 3.3 standard drinks in Ireland, so
that's what you
like
want.
A pint of wine.
Oh, an upgrade on a pint of wine.
Yeah.
an absolute fantastic beer. I'm really enjoying it, but I am nursing it a bit because I'm quite afraid that if I scull it, I will not see beyond whenever Acast put in a random ad break at some point because we haven't bothered to flag it for them. So apologies if an ad break comes in at any random moment. It's because I've drank my Break from the Haze too quickly. But lads, we were actually on. We arrived in on Tuesday. Usually we take a trip on Thursday, but I think on Tuesday we just decided we wanted to go and have a nosy into the plinth and worldwide wines, which has become a staple of the podcast since the pubs have been closed. We kind of went for a wander in, as listeners who've listened to us throughout this pandemic will know well, the old 5 for 16 deal is something that we were great fans of and big supporters of. And it was a great little mixer deal where you could pick 5 cans from 5 different breweries. You could pick 2 and 3 of the same thing to try and sort yourself out for 2 different nights. You know, loads of options, really good value. And not something that you could take the piss with, because like, you're not going to spend €16 a day on 5 cans. So we went in to realize and be a bit surprised at the fact that the 5 for 16 was gone. Now, of course, this is because in Ireland, what came in recently, the Public Health Bracket Alcohol Act of 2018, part of the phased rollout of that now is that you can no longer have loyalty points earned or redeemed on alcohol. And also multi-buy drinks have been shelved, to use the Irish Times phrase. So you can't have discounts on multi-pack purchases of alcohol, but discounts on individual bottles are allowed. So what was your take on being I suppose confronted with an offerless plinth?
I was shocked and appalled at the situation. I know, it really annoyed me, like, really just going into the place, like this is one thing that we go in like every week and we buy like our 5 cans. Sometimes we don't buy the 5 cans because we have enough cans at home, like, so we might just go in and get 1 or 2 cans. We're just going to have a look, see if there's anything around, like, but like, yeah, sometimes we do go in and we get the 5 cans for €16, and it is that thing of going in, having a look, mixing and matching breweries, and like just like really enjoying like different tastes and stuff. And like, I just thought that like, this is so fucking petty for a like for like an off license not to be able to offer like these deals on like just being able to mix and match cans. Like it's just so silly. Like the whole thing about this this act is to reduce the normal, like one of the statements in it is to reduce the normality of like adding a bottle of wine or like topping up your weekly shop with alcohol, you know, to try and like prevent the normalization of the addition of alcohol to your weekly shop, like, you know. So okay, I do get it. I do get where they're trying to come from. They're trying to reduce alcohol or reduce the consumption of alcohol in Ireland, right? And I do get it in like using that terminology. I do get it. I do get the whole thing of them saying, say you're if you get you know, spend €50 in Tesco and get €10 off, then, you know, and if you have, you know, 49 or €45 shop worth of shop in your basket already, and you go, oh sure, I'll just throw in a bottle of wine here now and that'll bring me up past the 50, right? So I do get where they're trying to come from that, and yes, do ban that. But like this thing of like just banning these you know, five cans for €16 is scandalous. Like what they're trying to do is they're trying to avoid these multi-buy deals that the supermarkets are doing, say like buy like we know all the big supermarkets do the six bottles for €50. Like they're always at a six bottles of wine for €50. They're always at it at all times, like, you know. And normally now, like I know from experience between like people I know, when they are buying that six pack, it's normally around Christmas time that they're getting it, and they're stocking up. They're not going home to drink the fucking six bottles of wine at once, you know. So like I don't know, it's just come in kind of like very oddly for me, like and yeah, that the thing with the plaint and stuff, like I haven't explored it any further, but like a lot of the places, a lot of the off-license I've been, like they might do brewery specific ones. So they might go buy three Wicklow Wolves for like €9, or buy, you know, four, like it used to be like say four Brewdog for a tenner, the stubby cans or whatever, or four Crafty Hopster for a tenner, like, you know. And now like it's just gone. And then there's the other side of it as well, where there's the fact that you're still allowed to buy multi-packs of things. So say if something comes in a pack, so the classic one when we were in college, Darren, was the six cans of Dutch Gold for €4, where they were in fucking a six kind of six pack like together. Like that still seems to be allowable under this legislation, like, you know. I think obviously the minimum pricing stuff that comes in is going to be, but like if you buy like a pack of stuff, like if something is within a box, then they are allowed to discount on it, like, you know. So all it's doing is it's going against you being able to kind of pick and choose between different breweries, like, you know. So I don't know, either go all in or not, like.
Yeah, I suppose I have a couple of thoughts on that before I get into it. Ian, I suppose a couple of aspects to this that have been brought in recently. This is after in November they brought in those like prison gates to the office section of Super.
Yeah, it's fucking strange.
Yeah, what do you, first of all, I suppose the loyalty points. If you have anything to add on that, I personally don't. It doesn't affect me, so I'm not too. I'm like okay, fair enough with that, but
yeah, like the loyalty points, you'd fucking get over, like you said, you know. So who really gives a shit about their loyalty points anyway? Like, it's, at the end of the day, like, the amount of money you spend in the supermarket is probably, it wouldn't be necessarily on drink anyway, so you wouldn't be looking for the loyalty points anyway. But, like, is there not going to be loopholes around this for, like, it seems to be mostly kind of wine and stuff. Like, say now, those, like, buy six bottles for €50, normally the bottle of wine might be a tenner bottle. Will they not just, like, reduce the price to spin €8.50 or something, so you're going to have your six bottles for a tenner as well? And like, because if they reduce the price individual bottles, it's allowed, but they're not allowed to do it if it's on a multi basis.
Yeah, so the thing with that there is, what when we were in Worldwide Wines on Tuesday, we spoke to one of the sales assistants in Worldwide Wines about it, and just to try and gauge her kind of take on it. She was saying that basically they can do that, but it has to be all the same bottle of wine in the six bottle pack. So you can't say reduce the individual price of six different bottles of wine and then sell that as a six bottles to someone in a box, you know. So I'm not sure what way that'll work. I'm not sure about the ins and outs of it. And the way from talking to the off licenses, I'm not sure they know themselves what's going to be allowed and what's not going to be allowed.
But do you know, like, we said no at 20 cans of Guinness, you're still allowed to sell that for whatever price you want.
Yeah. So basically, like, you know, when you go into Tesco and you see, like you say, a crate of Guinness or 20 bottles of Miller. So
it's
that's
just the multi buy of individual bottles is not allowed to be discounted.
Yeah. Which to me brings up quite a serious issue. If the purpose of this is to target problem drinking and to reduce the incidence of problem drinking, for me, it doesn't address this at all, because the person who is suffering from alcohol dependency is not going in and picking out five different beers from Wicklow Wolf, Yellow Belly and Dead Center, for example, and saying, oh, I'll spend €16 on those. That person is looking for, as you said, Owen, the little six pack of Coors or the six pack of Miller or whatever it might be, or Devil's Bit even, like that's like a tenner, you know what I mean? Or €8. And that's not dealt with in this piece of legislation. That's not going to change anything. So for me, I'm a bit kind of like, what you've done there is you've not made it any more difficult on Diageo or Molson Coors to sell this stuff at discounted prices still and target vulnerable people who have dependency. But what you have done is you've made it incredibly difficult now for small independent brewers to sell their beers at competitive prices and grow a bigger share of the market. And also too, if they do want to do that, so we saw that Yellow Belly had up on their social media during the week, you know, they were doing, I think it was four packs of Into the Breach, sold as an individual pack. But even at that, I think it was four cans for €33. Six cans for €33 wasn't it? But yeah, then like those cans are $5.50 for an individual can anyway in Worldwide Wines. So it's almost like if you're going to force them into the multi-pack together, first of all, you're doing is restricting consumers from having more choice. But also as well, you're actually going to incur a greater cost on small independent brewers whose margins are an awful lot finer than Diageo and Molson Coors and those kind of people, because they're going to have to invest in more packaging costs, more distribution costs, because they're going to have to put them all into these packs together, which is going to cost money, and it's going to I suppose cause more logistical problems for them too. So all you've done basically is made it slightly more inconvenient on the big guys and just added cost and inconvenience, significant inconvenience to the smaller guys.
Yeah, 100%. Like, I just just to echo that point, that like all you're doing is you're preventing the breweries, because that's the thing that like we do, this is our habit, is that we go in and we mix and match, like, you know. And like, you're not going in and you're not going, I want four cans of like your mammoth IPA or whatever, like, because it's going to kill you, do you know what I mean? So so what you're actually doing is you're going along and you're having your third barrel, you're having your Wicklow Wolf Mammoth, you're having the White Hag, you know, you're mixing and matching. And like, it's going to make it, not that it's going to make it harder, because we'll obviously still will do it, like, but it's just, I don't know, it just like gets rid of like, I don't know, the fairness amongst the breweries to like actually be competitive and like offer their own, like, because that's the thing. It's basically you're trying to compete you're trying to compete with someone who's buying a six pack of Heineken or whatever, that you can come along and go, okay, we can offer you like a six pack or the five, let's say, that were in Worldwide Wines for a price that is going to be, you know, above the six pack, but it's going to be, you know, a standard price, like €15, and you can go mix and match. And now, would it not be much nicer for you to have these five lovely cans from different breweries around the country rather than you getting a six pack of Heineken, like, you know?
Yeah.
That's all you're disincentivizing, like.
We're in a privileged position as well, because to be fair, like, we have good steady jobs with good pay. So, like, for us, if we want a couple of cans, like, we're in a privileged position that we can afford to go in and say, you know what, like, this limited edition third barrel is £5.50 for a can, but you know, I can afford to buy it. So there is privilege associated with that. For independent brewers to reach out to people, and I want to address this point with Ian, because just to say congratulations to Ian, you recently got your chartered accountancy exams passed, so like you got a pay rise, you got a bump in pay as well, so you've gone to being the student accountant on low pay to getting up onto the big bucks now. So like the thing there is, if you want to incentivize and it comes back to this problematic relationship with Alcohol that Ireland has. I don't see how it addresses this at all. I mean, Alcohol Action Ireland said in their statement that the regulations will act as a small impediment. If you really want to tackle alcohol dependency and problem drinking, you don't want small impediments on small scale brewing. You know, what you want there is education and investment in education and investment into responsible drinking and responsible drinking habits. But I suppose in order for someone to be more into drinking one or two cans of Mammoth IPA instead of drinking 20 bottles of Miller. So I suppose, Ian, like the mindset that you want to instill into a young person is, you know, who like you were up until recently, not in a position where you could afford to splash out in like €6-7 cans of beer were like, you know, a massive luxury. Like the difference between being in that position versus like, you know, I either buy the 20 box of Miller or I don't buy any beer at all. You know what I mean? What you make of that assessment?
Like, if the whole point of the legislation is to get alcohol consumption down, then they're targeting like the wrong areas, because like the people who depend on alcohol, they're not going to fucking be impacted by lowering, like not being having the multi buy, because they're still going to be able to get their six cans for the same price as they always would. It's like when I was in college, like, do you think I would have looked at the print going past? No, straight down the back to the fucking cheapest cans you can buy in Europe. Off. Oh, that's like the same thing is going to happen. So I don't understand how it's going to They say it's to lower it from 11 litres to 9 litres per capita alcohol consumption. I don't know if that's over the year or what, but or is it per week? But like,
for a day,
I just don't understand how it's going to do that, because like you're going to take away people wanting to like go to the plinth and buy like they're 5 cans for 16, they're not going to buy 5 cans for €30, or you know, they're going to go around the back and they're going to get their cans of Foster's, their cans of Dutch Gold for 6 cans for 10 or 6 cans for 8 or 9 euro. So like, I just don't understand how it's going to take people's alcohol consumption down at all. If anything, it might increase it, because instead of going to the off license and buying 3 of your craft, you might buy 6 cans of.
Yeah, but like, we've all been in an off license and we've all seen the alcoholic in there who's you know, coming out fucking bottle of vodka, like just like the cheapest bottle of vodka that they can get off the back of the shelf, like, and just heading out, like, you know, straight out the door.
Yeah,
you know, it's trying to tackle that, and like. Like, let's not knock the whole act, because there is some good in it, right? So, like, last November, in November 2019, sorry, I forgot that 2020 existed, alcohol advertising. alcohol advertising was banned at bus stops within 200 meters of all schools and during certain films at cinemas. So like, it like that is like there are good measures there of like actually trying to like reduce the like tendency for like younger kids and stuff to go at it hard, like, you know. But like I this bit of legislation just doesn't make any sense to me at all, like, you know. And also like the what do you make of these barrier yokes? Like, I don't get them at all. Like,
so
I actually didn't realize it was part of legislation. I just thought that fucking people after losing their minds, to be honest.
Yeah. So there's a place up in Nace. It's called Swans. So it's a little kind of like, it's kind of like nearly like a mini arcane store. So it's this kind of like fancy, like has a fancy deli in it. Like they do they do fresh orange juice and stuff there. They have the little coffee stalls, and they have all the kind of like local artisan-y foods and stuff like that. And then they also have like a shelving unit of wines and stuff there, right? And I actually think there's some, I think you can actually get a carafe of wine, and you can like pour, you know, bring a bottle and pour a carafe of wine or whatever from a barrel and go back or whatever, right? But now they have like in front of these shelves, and the shop is like small. It's like a one-way system around the place, and it is small. But in front of that shelving unit now, they have like these like little like barriers, like hip high barriers that are going around it. And like they have to like I've seen them like a handwritten sign on the side of the thing being like, you can enter these barriers at any time, because it looks like someone has just cordoned off the place, like that they're doing maintenance work or something on it. Like, it looks shocking, but like there's not much you can do with that, like, you know. But because it's in legislation now, like they've taken out like walking floor space out of the shop as well, like, so
yeah. I think these barriers are again more harmful than good. All they're doing is stigmatizing people from who are trying to purchase alcohol. I also think as well, like, the problem with these barriers and stuff like that is it's not a constructive way to approach problematic drinking or a problematic relationship that our society has with alcohol. It does nothing to do that. Like I said, it just stigmatizes. And I think it ties into this, like, almost this, like, you know, the classic Irish Catholic guilt, like, you know, trying to shame people for buying a few cans or for buying an old bottle of whiskey. Like, you know, how dare I buy my you know, how dare I go, when I'm going to visit my grandparents now after the lockdown for the first time, how dare I bring my granddad a new bottle of whiskey? Like, you know, I have to go through these prison gates of hell first. Like, you know, it's complete ridiculous. Like, the thing there is, right, if you want to reduce problematic drinking, are you going to do it by having a fucking barrier that anyone, a child, can push open?
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
You're not going to do it. It, like, that's not, somebody who is in alcohol dependency is not going to see that barrier and think that I'm not.
No.
What they're going to do is they're going to feel a sense, an even greater sense of shame for drinking, and it's going to put them deeper into a spiral and actually make their mental health worse, make their dependency worse because of this like fucking mental stigma that's going to go through their mind. I think as well, it brings me on to like the minimum unit pricing. Minimum unit pricing hasn't come in yet, but it is part of the legislation. I saw an interview with Simon Harris from around then on. I think it was around the same time, November 2019, when they were announcing the timeline for the implementation of the Act. And Simon Harris was Minister for Health at the time. And obviously it's the Public Health Act, so it comes under the Department of Health's remit. So
also, Simon Harris not still Health Minister, though?
No.
But oh, also, he kind of acts like it, though.
Sometimes he does, yeah. Kind of, he
does. Fucking Humpty Dumpty, no.
He doesn't bother with higher education that much. No. He still does press conferences about vaccines, even though it's nothing to do with him. But I was going to say, maybe us as employees in the Department of Health, we might be able to persuade him a bit. I doubt it. But What I was going to say is, like, he did an interview where he said minimum unit pricing will be coming in around the same time it will be coming in Northern Ireland, and it is on the time scale there as well. I have a couple of things to say about minimum unit pricing. The first one is, I reckon the Irish government here would have it in already, only for the fact that they're terrified that if they bring it in before Northern Ireland, the entirety of the country will be going to Newry for cans every weekend.
Yeah.
I think that's nailed on. The other thing I'd say is, like, minimum unit pricing is not going to help dependency, help people who are in dependency. All it's going to do is make them have to cut more stuff out of their life, because they are going to spend the money on the alcohol. All it's going
to drive up crime too.
But that's what I'm saying. If they're going to resort to crime, or else they're going to resort to self-deprecation in terms of self-deprivation in terms of, like, they're going to buy alcohol instead of food, or they're going to buy alcohol instead of paying for shelter, and it's going to create even more societal problems. It's not a progressive solution. And I think it's a bit mad for, like, this, like I said, these stigmatizing gates to alcohol purchasing in supermarkets to come in, along with stuff like minimum unit pricing. Because again, it doesn't deal with the issue. Like, we have under-resourced addiction services here in Ireland. We spend 6% of our health budget on mental health when the EU average is above 10%. So for me, I don't see how you can say that this act is going to be successful in tackling Irish society's relationship with alcohol and making it any better and improve it. It might be well-intentioned, and as you say, Owen, there might be good things in it. But for as far as I'm concerned, I think actually, no matter how well-intentioned it is going to, over a prolonged period of time, going to have a negative impact on our relationship with alcohol. And it's actually going to make people who unfortunately fall into dependency for a variety of reasons, it's going to make their situation worse as opposed to helping them.
Yeah, maybe so, yeah. I'm going to put a hot take out there now, right? I'm going to say that when they introduce this minimum unit pricing, they're going to match the price of a pint of Guinness to the whatever the unit of a pint of Guinness is to whatever the minimum pricing of a unit is going to be.
It's going to be 10 cents per gram of alcohol.
10 cents per gram of alcohol. I don't know, I've read it, what that means.
I think it's 10 cents per 10 mils, maybe.
Of what percent? What's that like?
I'd say it's like a 330 mil can will be 330, I'd say.
Oh, right, okay.
That's how I take it, but I don't know, that could be off, to be honest.
But does that would only correlate if it's a 1%er. So does that...
just in the Act, it says the minimum price per gram of alcohol for the purposes of that shall be 10 cents. And then there's an equation, A by B equals C. So A is the minimum price per gram of alcohol. B is the quantity in grams of alcohol contained in the alcohol product. And C is the minimum price of the alcohol expressed in euro and cents.
Please, any mathematicians, please write in your answers to the snowcast at gmail.com.
We're not going to do the sums at time of recording.
No.
we'll address this issue again when minimum unit pricing actually does come in. But yeah, I don't see how that's going to solve any problems. I think it's just going to create more acute problems. And the last thing our hospitals need is people who are in alcohol dependency run into acute crises. But I think, like, we've spoken a good bit there on, I suppose, negative things that are coming into our drinking lives.
I want to bring back to the gates. I want to bring back to the gates of hell, right?
Go on.
So have you ever noticed as well that, like, the gates into it, right? They swing like they swing like there's been a bowl set out, like, at a party, you know? They're fucking back and forth, right? But anyway, right? Damn yokes, right? Do you also know, right, that, like, oftentimes there is, like, a shelf just inside inside the gates, like, right? And, like, people be, like, running through them, like, they have an emergency in ER or something, you know? Like, the trolleys would be smashing them, like. I'd say, like, not to put thoughts in anyone's head, but I'd say we could get an awful claim on our hands, you know, bending down to get the bottom shelf, bottom shelf bottle of whiskey there, like, and then have your mother or someone come through and beat you.
I'm really looking forward to, like, this being played back in a small claims court as evidence against the one.
Countersued.
What do you mean premeditated? What do you mean? It's never premeditated.
Some distant relative of Owen in, like, Cambodia is going to have, like, something happen to them, and then this evidence is going to get them jailed for fraud. Put your fourth cousin three times removed said this on a podcast a couple of weeks ago. yeah, look, some of them are actually really, really bad. I think the way our King's Doors have done it is really, really good. They've got this, like, kind of perspex glass that's see-through, kind of the top half, and it's like automatic opening doors. That's less prisony and more futuristic, spaceship.
Yeah, no, that's nice. All right, lads, I have a stout update as well. I've gone on to the White Hag, the Dark Druid, salted caramel pastry stout.
And yeah, I have that in my off license.
It is good. It is. It's nice and sweet. I think are they all the same percentage? They're all 5.5%, I think.
Yeah, the orange is 5.5%. Anyway.
Yeah. And yeah, it's nice. Very sweet. So, but it's nice. They're exactly what you want. Like, you know, they're all the ones I've tasted so far. And actually, I had that chocolate orange one as well. But they're all like, oh, like, this is what I wanted to taste like, and it just exactly tastes like what you want it to taste like.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that, Owen, and brought it up, because I thought, like, a nice segue from our topic, our first topic there in the Public Health Alcohol 2018 Act, onto what we're going to talk about after the break is really good. I'm really intrigued to get into the concept of pastry stouts, because, you know, we've thinking back to, like, the Stout and Porter weekend that they had in Grady's Yard a couple of years ago, when it was a lot of coffee, chocolate and coffee stouts, vanilla stouts, nitro stouts, and pastry stouts, there weren't really many of them around. It seems to be a fairly new phenomenon to the last year or so of pastry stouts. I suppose, you're obviously a big fan of them.
I'm actually getting into kind of like dessert stouts and stuff. I don't know. I just think they're kind of not that they're brand new on the scene, like, but there definitely has been an explosion of them in the last while, like, and I don't know. They're so goddamn tasty.
Ian, as an avid Guinness drinker,
yeah.
What's your take on the diverging stout scene in Ireland at the moment?
Well, I won't say as much experience as you do, but, like, the chocolate orange pastry out there was beautiful, but, like, you couldn't sit down for a day and drink it, because you'd have a belly like fucking, I don't know, Danny DeVito after fucking 3 or 4 of it. So, like, they're lovely, I'd say. They're more of a dessert. They're just, like, you have them after your dinner and you're just, like, want something to put you to bed kind of thing. Or if you're at home, no, if it's Friday night, sitting down watching an old rom-com, I'd say a few dessert stouts there now. Pastry stouts, beautiful.
They take your mind off watching a rom-com.
Don't you talk about Ryan
causing
like that.
Yeah, no, I really enjoyed the concept of that kind of dessert stout, that kind of, you know, one drink, just one settler after the dinner, that kind of, like, you know, I'm drinking this for the taste and the experience, and it's just going to be the one can or the two cans. Like, I'm big into that, and I think you're right on in terms of the stubby can, like that little 330 miller is the perfect size for that kind of stout. But hopefully if we actually bother to edit this properly, you'll hear an ad next. Hopefully it's not for the British Army. If it is, fast forward 30 seconds. And when we come back, I'm going to talk about Wicklow Wolf's Mammoth IPA.
Hold up. What was that?
Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Have you had the chipper burger there now?
And we're back after a quick break there just to empty the bladders and fill the glasses. And I have filled my glass with Wicklow Wolf's Mammoth IPA. It's their 6.2% IPA. I'm surprised this has never featured on a podcast before, which I'm surprised because it's been out since 2019 and is a smashing beer. What I love about Wicklow Wolf's new cans that they have since last year, I think, is this like Wicklow Wolf independent by nature. It always reminds me of Alan in The Hangover. That lone wolf speech he gave up on the roof and about the wolf pack. Speaking of wolf packs, you can now get your wolf pack of Mammoth IPA, which is allowable to have discounts, not like the rest of the beer. But it's a lovely, like, kind of floral, citrusy IPA. Like, compared to that, the break from the haze that I had from Third Barrel, which is very much a big hitter. Like, you know, you're drinking 8.5% and you're nursing it, but it's a fucking lovely explosion of flavor. This Mammoth IPA is like big on flavor, but super drinkable. So you're very much like, oh, I've just sculled a can of this and I forgot it's 6.2%. And now I'm in my neighbor's garden in my jocks and it's snowing outside.
Actually, DJ, right? I know we're going to move on, right? I know we are going to move on, but.
We have to.
But I just wanted to ask a quick question, right? And I know you said it about Yellow Belly doing the Into the Breach, their six pack, right? But do you see breweries now doing more like mix packs and like the fact that then they have a pack, they can charge whatever they want for it?
But I think from the discussion we had the other day in Worldwide Wines, they can only apply the discount if the contents of the pack are all the same. So like a six pack of Mammoth IPA could be discounted, but a six pack of Wicklow Wolf's like Mammoth IPA and Elevation Pale Ale and Arcadia Lager, I think like if you two of each of those, from what I was on my understanding from our discussion in Worldwide Wines, that wouldn't be discountable.
Yeah, no, so sorry. That discount can come from the off-licenses side, but what I'm asking is, do you think that the brewery will see that niche in the market that off-licenses will no longer be able to offer these multi-pack discounts, so therefore they're going to have to bring out packs and they're going to go, like, they can't mix and match breweries. Well, I suppose they could, like, you know, as in, say, the likes of what Beer Cloud and stuff are doing, like, they're kind of doing that at the moment, those huge kind of mix packs, but say like what Metal Man did at Christmas time there, where they had that 8-pack of mixed beers out. Do you think like they'll do that now as the norm?
Oh, so you mean like just
charge? They like what BrewDog does, you know, where that BrewDog has, yeah, has like just, a pack.
Just do the mix pack, but charge full price. Is that what you're saying, man?
Well, not even charge full price, but maybe charge like a discounted price, like.
Oh, so the brewer will discount the offices.
So the yeah, but they're obviously selling like more beer. Do you know, like they're.
It makes sense to a certain degree, but the other side of it too is like, I don't know what the margins are like for these independent breweries. Like, you know, as in, it always strikes me what Barry from Kildare Brewing Company said to the Irish Beer Snob podcast was like, you know, by trying to do too much and stretching themselves too thin, they could they'd struggle to make ends meet. Like they'd be trying to run before they walk. And it's something as well that Metalman actually said when they opened up the Metalman bar on the Keys of Waterford, that between trying to run the brewery and run the bar, they were over complicating it. I think some breweries seem to have the resources, like the people in place and the employees in place, like Yellow Belly do, where they do have like a strong marketing and sales team. Like they have Danny there and doing an awful lot of good stuff. So I think like it's possible that it will happen. I think some breweries will try it and see if it's successful. And then if it is, I think the rest will follow. But I think other ones will just back their quality and sell local and try and sell local and sell through somewhere like Beer Cloud as well, but just like back their quality will get them enough sales to keep the business viable, I'd say.
Good answer, thanks. I just wanted to get your thoughts on that.
Fair enough. But yeah, actually you told us all what you've moved on to. Ian, have you moved on to anything else, or are you still nursing that pastry stout?
At the moment I'm drinking Galway Bay Brewery Full Sale IPA 5.8%, and it's actually fucking lovely.
That's, I had that actually before we came on.
I was
another stubby can. Lovely.
I was on bottles of that all Christmas Day because my brother-in-law Rory was who runs Powers Tash Pub in Uchtarard. I've mentioned it in the podcast a few times. Shout out to Rory, who actually he supports an awful lot of independent brewers. But he basically had a load of Galway Bay bottles, the large bottles that you get in the pubs. He had a load of them that were going out of date at the end of January, and not knowing whether he could open or not at Christmas time there, he just had a couple of crates of them at the house, and I just spent Christmas Day trying to do my best to get value for his money. And I'll put it this with you. We had a game, we were playing charades that night, and I wasn't great. I know I wasn't great, and the poor kids were involved as well, like, so they got to see some questionable impressions. But yeah, I think we were talking like we were trying to figure out the best way to approach the next topic, because we kind of know what we want to talk about, but what's the best way to structure it, I suppose. And the way I think we might do it is we're looking at, so like Owen, we've both had our first vaccine dose. In fact, by the time this comes out, we'll be just about due our second one. Ian, you're still waiting at the moment, and we're thinking about, right, if people are being vaccinated, if we can manage to suppress transmission of the virus and manage to get Ireland opened up internally, like we spoke to Keith Daniels of who was on the podcast previously on about the alternative musical festival that happens in Waterford every year, so we spoke to Keith last week, and he was asking us, because he runs a food truck, Ching on Badass Burritos, a Tex-Mex food truck in Waterford as well. We were asking, Keith was asking us, what do we think about the possibility of a festival happening this year, for example. And he was kind of saying, you know, all together now was the music festival in Waterford and the August Bank Holiday weekend. And he was saying, right, vaccines have started. Is there a chance that we'll have all together now in August to look forward to? And I suppose for him, from a business point of view, that would be a big weekend for his year if it went ahead. So I suppose what I'm going to say is, what's your favorite event to drink at? Like, I say the word event very loosely, like go wherever you want with it, but what's your favorite setting, event, location to drink at?
It's such a tough one. Like, I think I do love, I think probably my favorite is when you go on a holiday with a group and There's that kind of let's all get cans. Like there's that, you know, or let's all like, you know, it's that setting where like everybody's in on it and it's like new adventure time. And it might necessarily even be like, let's all go to a pub or anything. It might be, let's go to a supermarket and get a big load of bottles or something and let's drink together. I just, I don't know. It's that kind of like, excitement of a new place. Like, and I think that could be one of my favorite places. And then also festivals as well. Yeah. Like I have to agree with Keith there. Like, you know, as in there's like there's, see, even this has to be subclassified because there's tent cans, you know, there's like at the concert cans, there's strolling cans, and there's the cans then afterwards that like you bring. So like I know for Electric Picnic and actually for All Together now as well, they're allowed to bring your own cans into the arena. But Electric Picnic, it has this kind of like special time between midnight and 4 a.m. that you're able to bring your cans into the main arena. So there's like this lovely time where Body and Soul there, like they'd have a few gigs on and they're able to go back to your tent, get cans, put them into a backpack, put them into, go down to Body and Soul, sit on the hill and Body and Soul and just like sip away on cans. Like, so yeah. Look, I could go on. I keep thinking of new events as well, like, but I'll probably start taking some of your ones. So, yeah, I'll flick it on to Ian there. What do you think, man?
Favorite cans, jeez. Our favorite drinks in general. I like the what you said about, you know, the holiday cans were like, you know, you get up in the morning, you might go to the pool or the beach.
So yeah, that was my next one there. I was like literally thinking of DJ Stag there, of like just waking up and like, yeah, just straight on it, like, you know, and that's such a good feeling. Like, you know, it's such pure divilment, isn't it? You're just like, oh fuck, I shouldn't be doing this, fucking, but I definitely should be doing this.
I'm having fucking holiday. Like, I've gone to a few games now, like a few Premier League games, like I've gone to a few West Ham games, a few Liverpool games. But I always things, you know, like when you get up that morning as well, and you're like, fuck, you know, we're going to a game, so I'm going to get a point, and then you get a point, and then you get a point walk into the stadium, and you might get a point outside the stadium, so it's just like, fucking, so it's sure, like, you know, it's just like, if you're up for the match, you're just like,
oh, that is
give cool. You all the points.
That's so good. DJ, actually, remember we had a match that we were going to, what was it? It was a West Ham game, wasn't it? But we were trying to find what pubs opened the earliest.
Oh yeah,
that was in London, wasn't it?
Well, that was
the one that Mark Noble had to fight a fan.
Well, I'm not sure. We had a weekend where we managed to get three Premier League games in one weekend.
Yeah.
It was a crazy weekend, and yeah, I think it was. I think it was West Ham and Man City. Man City won 4-1.
Yeah.
And we managed. Ian, you got us the tickets, and they were like in the like ultras section, the West Ham ultras section. And we just wanted to see a good game of football. So like anytime De Bruyne got the ball, we were like, what? And Declan Rice hadn't declared for England yet, I think. So we were like, call him Decky as if we knew him the whole time. And we were convincing like people around us that Ian's actually wearing a Declan Rice jersey. But we were trying to convince people we were related to him around us, and we were like his best friends from home, even though he was born and raised in London.
Well, I remember waking up that morning and we were like lying in bed.
Yeah, we're related to him through marriage, actually, that is true, but that's like, it's a stretch of relation. But yeah, one, you're talking about like that kind of like, it's 9:30 in the morning and we're going to a match at 12 o'clock kickoff. Like, how do we get a point?
Yeah, because I think we rocked up to like one pub and like it was shutters down. Like, we were like, what is this? And then, yeah, I think it ended up being your old favorite, Wetherspoons, that saved the day.
The funny thing about that was we actually were in London that weekend. We managed to end up staying in a really, really posh part of London in a really nice hotel.
Chelsea, was it?
Yeah, we were in like South Kensington.
So
obviously none of the pubs around here were open. There was no early houses around there. It was all just people going to yoga and stuff. But yeah, I think the match day, like another time on, remember we were in Liverpool and we were going to a 12 o'clock kickoff, and obviously Anfield is outside Liverpool City, and like we managed to somehow do two or three pubs on the way to the match really early.
Yeah.
Scrambling to find somewhere that did a decent breakfast. That Shiraz place actually that we had breakfast in, that was top notch, top quality breakfast.
Right, I think the match points, like, it doesn't happen often, so when it does,
this
is unbelievable.
So I was going to say, and actually I'm glad you brought up my stag home, because it actually is the last time I was on an airplane, was going to and from my stag. But one of my favorite parts about the entire experience weekend was we were the first at the airport, and we got this table
before we were leaving.
Yeah, we got this table at the airport bar in Dublin Airport, the upstairs one, and I absolutely loved sitting, having the pints in the chat, and just seeing the group like organically grow and evolve as more people arrived in the build up, and just seeing that make so those kind of like points where it was like everyone was there. I knew everyone, not everyone knew each other, and just seeing like being really curious as to the different people that were mingling with each other from different. That I knew from different like kind of walks of life, and seeing, oh gee, like I wouldn't have put those two together and they end up fucking getting on famously for the weekend and this kind of thing, you know. That was really good. I think as well, like one of my absolute favorite settings to have a pint in is at a concert where it's like a sit-down concert, you know, like an acoustic gig or something like that. Like one of my favorite kind of sessions and one of my favorite nights out that we've had on was when we went to see Christy Moore live in Vicar Street, which we got the tickets for that like really short notice. We were going up to see the Red Hot Chili Peppers, and they all had like mono or laryngitis or something.
COVID.
Yes. Yeah, so,
yeah. COVID 2017.
Flea was patient zero, and then in like 2016 or 2017, the gig was cancelled and we had a hotel room booked and a few days booked off work anyway. So we decided, fuck it, we're going to go up to Dublin. And on the motorway on the way up, you were Googling like what's on in Dublin tonight. And we like found out Christy Moore was playing live in Vicar Street, and we scrambled for tickets, like drove to the other side. Like on our way up to Dublin, we went around to the other side of Dublin from where we were staying to pick up tickets off some fella, picked them up, and like just we had both been to Christy Moore concerts before. So I love when you're at something and you have the nous and the nuance of how it's going to play out. So you play a blinder. And what I loved about this was we knew that once Christy comes on stage and starts singing, you can't go out and buy any pints and bring them in.
Yeah.
And we knew this because we had both been to Christy Moore concerts before. So we ordered 6 pints each just before we went in. And we came in, and because we bought the 2 tickets off this one guy who I think he had like a table of 4 seats, and his brother was coming home with his missus or something, and the brother missed the flight or something happened. Anyway, we benefited for 2 tickets, and he sold the other 2 tickets to these other 2 guys who didn't realize this, and both had like a quarter of a pint left each coming in. So they came to this small table where we had 6 pints each, like filled
taking over the whole table.
They had a quarter of a pint each, and they kind of were looking at us as the concert was about to start, saying, "What are these idiots doing with their 6 pints each on the table?" And as one of them went out to get a pint, and it dawned on them that they couldn't bring any more else. Just I loved enjoying those pints and getting progressively drunker through the concert, and just seeing the absolute longing stares of the lads sitting at the table with us towards our pints. And you know what? The thing is, I would have offered them one each. But the thing then is they look for a second one then after that. And then all of a sudden your 6 points are down to 4. And I thought, you know what? Like Christy plays for a good two and a bit hours, you know.
Straight, so, flat out, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. There's no break or anything. So And the thing with that as well, I love that sitting at a concert when you're sitting down drinking a pint and it's a concert and you don't want to get up and go to the jacks. You don't want to get up and miss anything, especially a performer like Christy Moore, who's so captivating in the performance. that you're sculling the drinks. So like the 6 points was like, we got through. We were hanging for a pint by the end of it.
Yeah, yeah.
So I love those kind of those nice concert pints.
Yeah, right. Okay, so we have a few different events there now, right? So let's pick out what's your favorite drink to have at each of those events, because I'm betting you're not going to be drinking the same at each of those. Like, so let's take what we take first. We'll take holiday morning pints first. What are we having
in the morning?
It has to be cheap local beer.
Yeah, no, you're dead right.
Cheap local beer.
Yeah. What was that one in Portugal? It was like Les Cafe or something.
Sagres.
Yeah.
Remember, I got the Sagres stole actually in that fucking the bear where they had Michael Jackson statue of size.
Yeah.
In Craven College. Wow, my God, that Sagres stole was absolutely disgusting.
No, but you're dead right. That's exactly what you want. You just want something, because like it's not too you actually don't want something too flavorsome or anything like that. You just want something that's just going to get you going for the day. Like, yeah.
Oh yeah.
You just want to hear the dog, like you just want to get a pint into you. And that kind
four
of
four or five.
Yeah, that crisp cold lager, that's probably like 3.8% or something like that. You know,
ideal.
Yeah, that kind of crisp cold lager. And then you just want a bit of food to get into you and get going.
And then the cocktails.
Yeah. So that was my order every morning on the stag. It was
and actually I think you could probably extend that to like the holidays in general kind of thing, can't you? Like, you know, you're not going,
yeah,
you know, maybe you might throw a few cocktails and stuff in here and there into it, like, but mainly you're just going for that, you know, what's going to sustain you for the day, like, and not kill you.
It was ideal. Like I thought I played a blinder on the old breakfast there, because I was getting Sagres and mojito and a full English for my breakfast. So I was getting the fat on board and the food and sustenance. I was getting the sugar from the mojito, and with the mojito and the pint, I was getting the hair of the dog as well.
And that was after
running down and throwing the head into the pool to clear it as well.
Right. So what about a match then?
Okay, so with a match, I think with a match again, it is either a lager or a Guinness, depending on the match and the time of day. But if the earlier in the day, the more likely it's going to be a lager.
Yeah.
An evening match, a late kickoff, you could go with a Guinness. But as well, like the choice of drink also influences the choice of pie. So if you're going for a pint and a pie, you need to match your pint up with your pie.
So like steak and kidney, you're going for a Guinness, is it?
Oh, yeah. Whereas like the potato meat pie.
Curry. Curry pie.
Yeah. That's pure lager, yeah.
That's a lager. Like that's whatever lager sponsors the team.
Another thing, for the match point, you have to drink something you like as well, because you're going to be sipping away for like a few hours and you don't want to be like sculling it either, because you actually want to be able to see the match and stuff. So
you're also limited by what they serve in the stadium. So like you obviously don't want to go too far. Like, you know, say if you're drinking beforehand, you don't want to go too far from that. Like, you know, so like say whatever Carlsberg, whatever fuck they're selling in the stadium or whatever, like, you know, you don't want to go too left field from that, like, because you'll be sick. Like, you want to stay on board. Like, that's a good one. So actually I was thinking there, DJ, you were saying kind of like that airport pint there, but actually what you described there was actually more of a stag pint, because normally like your airport pint is more kind of relaxing, like watching the world go by, waiting for it. You know, you're not normally in a big group with lads and stuff like at an airport. Like, you know, it's normally, you know, kind of waiting for a flight and stuff and kind of, so like my normal one for an airport would be a pint of Guinness, like, do you know?
Oh yeah. Like if you're fighting somewhere yourself, or if it's just you and the missus, like it's a pint of Guinness.
Yeah. Well, like I love that as well. Like it's because it's such a sipper as well, that you actually get to watch everyone around the bar and see what they're doing when they're heading off, and the panic of people and stuff heading off, like, I'm after missing the flight.
Of all the places the world, the people watch, the airport.
Number one, yeah, yeah.
I'm like one of the most laid back people in the world at an airport. Like, it drives me of mad when we're going anywhere. Like, we'll be the last people on the plane.
Yeah.
Like, we'll be arriving at the gate as the last person's going through the door. And I'll saunter along with my boarding pass and stroll in. And Owen, you're quite the same. Like, anytime we used to travel anywhere, we work together. Back when you would be flying around the place, like, the two of us would be sipping a pint and they'd be like calling last call, and we'd be like, Asher, we'll tip on in. So
yeah, no, but Asher, you know, like, you know, once you've done it a few times, the crack, like, so. I think the main thing though is to actually, the ideal spot to get a pint is looking at your gate. If they ever have like a bar near the gate, like, that's fucking class.
But I was going to say, like, of all the places in the world to people watch, an airport is the absolute best place.
Yeah, it's so good. Yeah. So what else did we say? Concert or no, festival. I said festival. What are we thinking about festival?
Like, you're on the cans of the festival because the pints come in these like plastic fucking glasses that so you're always on the cans of the festival.
And it's kind of like college, like, isn't it? It's kind of the college drink, if I mean, like, you're on a like pre-drink when you're going out to college. Like, oh geez, what's the best cans I can get?
That's I go a bit mad. So I definitely go for kind of the same, like those kind of like cans of whatever. I remember Oxygen 2008, I got 24 cans of Foster's. That was absolutely horrendous.
We had the crates of Canadian the last time around, didn't we?
Oh yeah, Canadian's kind of gone off the scene altogether, has it?
Yeah, I haven't seen that much.
Nah. But yeah, something along those lines you'd be drinking. But then when I actually go into the arena, then I just get notions. Like, I go all over the place. Like, what? Like, it's the same with the food stalls in the festival. Like, you know, if there's multiple food stalls there, like, I'm not having the same thing twice. Like, I'm going around, yeah, like, I'm trying everything that's there, because I don't want to miss out. You only have 3 days at your festival, so don't want to miss out. It's the same thing with the drink. Like, you know, if there's like a gin and tonic stall, I'll get a gin and tonic. If there's like a whiskey bar, I'll go to the whiskey bar and I'll get like some sort of like whiskey cocktail or something there. What's the one at Electric Picnic? The one, the rum, Casa Bacardia.
Yeah.
I go there, get something off them. Then you get like pints. There's always like a little craft beer tent, and then you just be tipping away on the Heineken or whatever is the kind of main sponsor as well on it. Like, so, I'm not sure if there's an ideal festival drink. I think it is that kind of like sense of exploration where what's the fucking nearest drink I can get as well? Yeah, that's totally it as well.
I have a take on the ideal festival drink. Hold on a second, I need to sneeze. No, I have a take on the ideal festival drink, and it's the kind of thing though, like, you're not going to be able to access slabs of it, but like a Tip Tango or a Teeny Tiny, one those cans now, if you were able to get a slab of them for a festival,
that
imagine having a can of Teeny Tiny before having a breakfast roll, and then having a coffee, and then another can of Teeny Tiny, and then moseying your way into the arena,
with
your hands tucked in your wellies.
Yeah. Also, as well, it used to be a thing as well of like, what can survive the heat the best? You know, what can is going to, what can is palatable at 20 degrees Celsius? You know,
and Hunger Games.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I remember one year I did a tactic of I brought a box of red wine with me because I was like, oh sure, red wine will be okay at kind of like warmer temperatures. It wasn't.
Maybe it was just the fact that you were drinking a box of red wine.
Yeah, I know. Chateau Cardboard. But that was good. all right. Anyway, what was our last one then? We had one more. Concert drinks. So
you're kind of limited at concerts, though, aren't you? Because
you are. Yeah. You are. Because
it's the same as a festival, really, because it tends to be the same kind of sponsors for the main arenas.
Yeah, but it's you've less of a choice because, like, say, like Bacardi will have a tent and like some fucking gin and tonic place will have a tent and. You know, you might have a craft beer tent and then you'll have Heineken will have like 6, 7, 8 different stalls or whatever. But yeah, no, for like, say the Tree Arena or whatever, you're just limited to what the Tree Arena sells, which is just going to be Diageo or whatever. Like, you know,
one of the coolest places I've seen a concert, and actually there was some really, really good craft beers for sale there that night, was the milk. Place in Limerick. It's in Limerick City. The milk, it's not the milk factory, the milk something anyway in Limerick. I'll look it up. But that's a really cool place to go and see a gig. And they were selling some good beers there at the time I was there, and they had like a really cool barbecue set up and everything as well. And a good place to go to a gig and a good place to have a few drinks as well. At a gig, but I think like when you go to like the bigger concerts in like the Tree Arena or go to a stadium or even like the Marquee in Cork or one of these kind of bigger concert things, it's just a Heineken tent or something like that, isn't it? Like, and they kind of have the rights.
Yeah, they might have like wine as well, wine or something as well, but and they don't really have good choice. You just forgive them, really.
Yeah, I remember at this is actually going back to the festivals, but I remember All Together Now, the festival there out in Curramore and Waterford, that they had some like craft brewer. I can't remember if it was a Metal Man or whoever it was, but they had brewed like, you know, an All Together Now brew like for the festival. It was like ATN brew. And like, I thought that was pretty cool. Like that, you know, like kind of like honing into that market. Like, so, but definitely, yeah, for concerts, like that sit down concert, say that we had with Christy Moore, like the pints of Guinness were absolutely like ideal for that. Like, and like, should just be sipping away, like, you know, so yeah, it definitely does depend on the concert, but no, I think that's, I think we've probably covered all bases. I was trying to think if there any other events like that I really love, but I think...
Weddings.
Oh, Jesus.
Weddings.
Weddings are fucking...
Speaking of morning pints.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, sure, you lose the head altogether at weddings, don't you? Like...
I was throwing
whiskeys and everything into the scene, like...
I keep thinking
everything.
Yeah,
I keep thinking last year, it's 2019. I was at a wedding in Killarney there in 2019, summer 2019, and they had Killarney Brewing Company on tap, and it was the same price as all the other beers, and their lager was lovely, and I just like absolutely tucked into that for the day. It was really, really good, and they actually had because again, one of my other brother-in-laws is celiac. They had Night Mite Deer there as well. He just tucked into that for the day. And the two of us were happy out sitting at the bar drinking our snobby craft beers at a wedding for the day. And it was sessionable beer as well. So it was great. Like, and
that's unreal. Yeah.
But the thing about weddings, though, is like you go to the bar there at 11:30 and you could meet fucking 5 or 6 people and like you'd have a drink with each one, but they could all be drinking different fucking things. So you're putting 6 or 7 different drinks into yourself in the space of 11:30.
And you're dead right though. Like people talking into drinks as well. Like
sure,
you'll have a shot of whatever with me, or you know, you'll have a vodka and white with me. Like, what are you on about? Like,
yeah, as our youngest brother is pretty famous for getting the Jager bombs out very, very early at weddings.
Yeah.
Not a good idea.
It doesn't even have to be a wedding. It could be just
a Tuesday morning.
Sunday lunch.
And actually, our old lad at my wedding brought around the baby Guinnesses fairly early as well, didn't he? Like, you know, so.
Yeah, it's a very smooth drink, isn't it, baby Guinness?
Yeah. Well, you two guys are getting married this year, so we'll have some good wedding stories, hopefully, to come on the podcast by the end of the year.
Hopefully.
Here's open.
Hopefully we'll be able to go and have the session. That was a fairly good chat there. We got through an awful lot. A good old session. Plenty of cans, like, you know, what are you, 6 or 7 cans featured on the podcast tonight. Many of them from different brewers. Like, that's what it's all about at the moment. It's supporting the independent brewers and the cans. They need your support more now than ever, because even the fucking legislation is trying to squeeze them out. So if you have the few pound to buy a couple of cans from your local independent brewer, please do. And give us a follow on the Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. We're at Snowcast on all of them. No one else was stupid enough to name something Snowcast. And give us a like. And what I want you to do, listener, this week is get in touch with us and let us know your favorite scenarios to drink a pint in. Your points, if there's any points that you like in certain settings that we've discussed this evening, or if you vehemently disagree with our takes on Public Health Alcohol Act of 2018. Get in touch and let us know. We love it when you get in touch with us and speak to us. We got some good podcasts lined up for the next couple of weeks. Some good guests coming up. And we're talking to a couple of other podcasts about some crossovers once we can go to the pubs again. Some good stuff coming down the line. Thanks for your support. Thanks to our patrons for the few pounds. We've invested it now in some some well overdue microphones are coming our way on. So hopefully we'll be at the same pitch and same level from
next week
onwards. And just want to say, sláinte, everyone. Have a good week. Drink local cans and tag us in your pictures on social media. We want to see them. Sláinte.
See you, lads. Good luck.
Good luck.
Catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row, dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.